Good evening, everybody. It's Gene Montristelli, the editor at tapinqa.com, and welcome to the April teaching call for my EFT year. As a reminder, next week we're going to do a question and answer call, and we're going to be doing your tapping requests. So make sure you join us on the call. If for some reason you can't be on the call, if you email me at gene@tapinqa.com and you have a question that you want to see covered in the show, we will make sure we get to that. So just make sure you get your questions in. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're actually going to talk about something that came from a member's question. The question was from someone who was recognizing the great resources that the site has been, and all of the tap-alongs and things like that, and was asking the question, how come I am not getting around to actually tapping? Is there a reason that I am doing that? And so what I did was I sat down, and I came up with, from my experience with clients, the 10 most common reasons why we resist doing the work that we want to do to get better. So as I work through them tonight, as always, if you have a question about one of the points, feel free to just raise your hand to do that. If you're on the phone, simply press *2. For those of you who have called in via Skype, you can actually open up the little keypad and you can hit *2 with keypad as well. And that will raise your hand so I can call on you. Or if you are listening to us on the webcast, where I see a bunch of you are, all you need to do in that left-hand box is type in a question, and I will get a chance to answer that. Just remember, those of you who are listening online, there is a 17-second delay between what I am saying and what you're hearing. So if you ask a question and I don't see it and I move on to the next point, don't worry about it. I will loop back and get to your question. So before we jump into this idea about dealing with resistance, I think it's really important to recognize how prevalent resistance is. Even when we are spending time tapping, oftentimes there's some resistance to go fully in or go after what is really there. And one of the kind of presuppositions that I always come back to in my work, and it's something that is really super foundational for me, is the statement, if it wasn't for resistance to change, the change already would have happened, or we would already be taking steps to make it happen. Now let me say that again. If there wasn't resistance to change, the change already would have happened, or we would be actively taking steps right now to make that change happen. Because think about the things that you don't have resistance about and how easily you execute the steps to get them. For example, when you go grocery shopping and you need to get some eggs and some milk and some bread and some cheese, there's no resistance to that. And since there's no resistance to that, you simply take the action you need to get those things done. Now, my desk is a mess, and for some reason, I never quite get around to it. Well, that's because there's some resistance to that. Now, there might be resistance to the work itself, or there might be some resistance to the outcome. So if you have an issue, and when I have an issue, that we're not responding to, that we're not tapping for, or we're not taking the steps that we need to be taking to make the transformation we want, be that getting some education or working out or whatever it is, that's because there is some resistance there. And so the first thing for me, before I go after an issue, is I want to go after the resistance to why I haven't gone after the issue yet. Because if I'm able to clear that resistance, then what I'm doing is I'm clearing a path which is going to make it super, super easy for me to get to the place to do the work that I know I need to do and to do the work I know I want to do. So that's what we're going to do, is we're going to talk about the 10 reasons why we resist doing the work that we do. After the call tonight, what I'm going to do, in addition to put the recording up, I'm actually going to put this in a bulleted list right there in the post so you can just see a quick shorthand list, because I have a feeling you're going to find this really handy just to print it out and put it wherever you do your tapping and just kind of go, I wonder if any of these apply to the issue that's right here. And if you do that, what you're going to do is you're going to give yourself a leg up when you go after these things. So I'm going to work through them, again, pausing between each one, giving you a chance to ask questions. And I'm going to move kind of from the least complicated to the most complicated. This isn't necessarily the most common or the least common to the most common. And it's not like a top 10 list where I'm ranking them, but they're kind of in order of complexity. They're starting from the least complex, moving to the most complex, but all of them are as equally as powerful in stopping us in moving forward, in being able to do what we want and have what we want. So the first most common and easiest one is it's not going to work. You know, the work that I'm doing right here is not going to work. You know, the issue is such that it's not going to happen. Either the issue is too big or it's too complicated, or EFT might work for lots of things, but it's not going to work for this. And so if I approach something and I feel like I'm not going to be successful with it, then I'm obviously not going to try, because none of us like diving into things which are going to lead to failure. There are a few things that are more painful than putting ourselves out there and putting effort into something and trying really hard to achieve something. And if we think on some level, even if it's deep, 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 that we don't think it's going to work, then we're not going to try. So the first question I want to ask myself is, before I tap on this, how much do I believe that I can actually change this issue and doing work on it is going to make a difference? So number one, it won't work for me. Number two is, it won't work for me, but it'll work for someone else. And that's a different issue. It feels like the exact same thing. But in this case, instead of having a disbelief about being successful or a disbelief in that EFT or whatever protocol that I'm going to use is going to be unsuccessful, this is something that's much more personal. This is, you know, it's possible for other people to change, and I've seen other people change, but it's just not going to work for me because I am so different and so special and so extraordinary, it's not going to happen. That people have it hard to lose weight, but nobody has it as hard as I do, because my mother used to tell these stories about how I was a chubby, and I'm never going to lose that, and I'm always going to be with it. And so it's important for us to look at why we believe it's not going to happen for us. So after we've asked the question, is it possible for this to work? And we go, yes, it is. The second question is it possible for me? And if we get the sense of it's going to make a difference for someone else, but it's not going to make a difference for me, then we need to start asking the question, what proof do I have that that's the case? And for me, whenever I bump into a fear, an anxiety, an impossibility, the question I always ask is, what proof do I have that that is true? That that belief is actually an accurate description of the world and my experience. And oftentimes inside of this, what we're going to do is we're going to find that part of us that thinks that we're too far gone, or we're too weak, or whatever it is. And that's going to give us an entry point to start tapping on that belief, how it's not possible for us. Because if I don't, just like the first one, if I don't think it's possible to change, in this case, if I don't think it's possible for me, subconsciously, I'm going to stop myself from making any effort, because that's something that's going to be a waste of time. It's going to be a waste of energy. So number one, number two, it's not going to work, or it could work. It's just not going to work for me because I'm so special or I'm too deficient to do that. Those two are super, super straightforward. But if you have a question about either of those, a comment, or maybe an example you'd like to see me give, feel free to raise your hand or type something into the chat box. And what I'm going to do is, between each one, as we move forward, I'm just going to check in on that as we go. It doesn't appear to be any questions, so we'll move on to number three. The third really common piece of resistance that keeps us from spending the time we need to tapping or doing anything else is the piece of resistance around the idea that whatever transformation I do right now, whatever work that I do right now, isn't actually going to last. That I'm going to put forth effort, I'm going to have some sort of change, but it's just going to be a temporary thing. Because it really makes a lot of sense. You know, if I have an issue that has been, you know, dogging me my entire life with an esteem issue or a weight issue or a motivation issue, it seems implausible that I'm going to take some time, no matter how much time it is, and tap on it and make it go away. And so it's going to feel like, you know, I might be able to make a difference in this, but the old way is going to come back and it's just going to be a waste of time. So if you tune into this sense, okay, I want to sit down and change, but this resistance is, it doesn't feel like it's going to be permanent. The way we respond to that is we tap on one of two things. The first is we tap on the idea that it doesn't really matter if it's not permanent. I received an email in the last week or so, and someone was really complaining about EFT, and they said that it was doing a really awesome job in making their back pain go away, and 2 hours later, they had to spend a few minutes tapping again because the pain came back. And it's too bad that they haven't found a way to tap and to make that pain go away forever. But from the outside, if before you are introduced to tapping, I told you, you know that chronic back pain that makes every day so hard for you to work on and move through? I'm going to show you something that if you take 5 minutes for the next 1 hour and 55 minutes, you are going to be mostly pain-free, and it's not going to require surgery. And it's not going to require any drugs. And the only drawback is, at the beginning of the next 2 hours, you're going to have to do it again. Now, if I approach someone who is in a great deal of pain, they would say, I'm all in. Sign me up. That's awesome. But when we've been given this idea of the power of EFT and tapping and this work, it's really easy for us to become dissatisfied with only tapping for 5 minutes and having my pain go away for 2 hours. So the first thing that we do when there's a part of us that's worried it's not going to stick is to acknowledge and recognize the fact that even if it doesn't stick, the relief I'm going to receive for the next 15 minutes, 2 hours, 3 days, 4 weeks, whatever that temporary relief is worth the time tapping because it's relief. And because the tool is so easy and it's so self-applied, I'm going to be able to return to that, and I'm going to be able to do it again to have that sense of relief. It's really easy to get caught up in. I love this. It makes me smile and laugh when I'm working with a client who, or working with someone who's really skeptical about tapping, and then 30 minutes into the session, they're frustrated because one round of tapping isn't knocking something out. So they went from disbelief to frustration that it's not fast enough because it's not instantaneous. So we need to keep reminding ourselves, any relief is more than we had before. And as long as it's a proportional amount of time, it's worthwhile. So when we're worried that it's only going to be temporary, that's the first thing. The second thing that is good to tap on when the thought comes up, I'm concerned that this is only going to be temporary, is to tap on the fact that, you know, it might be temporary and it might not. There's lots of temporary solutions that I've put into my life that have lasted much longer than I thought that they were going to. You know, as a cheesy, ridiculous example, I had a temporary crown that was supposed to last me 6 months, and 4 years later, it finally got to the point that we had to put the real crown in. So much so, it wasn't that I was avoiding it. I'd simply forgotten that I needed it because the temporary was doing such a good job. So if you find yourself in the circumstance where the piece of resistance is, this isn't going to last, our response is, it's okay if it doesn't last because relief is relief and that's good, even if I have to come back to it. And temporary oftentimes is much longer than we fear it's going to be. So again, questions about that, star 2 to raise your hand, or you can just type a question into the chat box. See neither of those, so we're going to move on. The fourth one, and I think this is one that people who are going after profound issues and have had experience with EFT bump into a lot, is this idea that the work I'm going to do is going to be really hard, really painful, or really emotional. And we get this belief because we have been in the circumstance where tapping sessions in the past have been really hard, really painful, or really emotional. And most of us have had the experience where we were starting on something really simple, like my desk is messy, and the next thing I know, I'm really involved in something very deep that's generational, or has to do with a very profound relationship, or has to do with something that's really, really old. And when I started tapping to clear up my desk, I had no clue it was going to run that deep. And so it catches me off guard. And so we oftentimes have this worry and this fear that the work is just going to be so gross and so painful to dive into that we're not going to get there. And so the way that we tap on that is we tap on that fear. I learned this lesson firsthand a number of years ago. I had a friend who lives nearby, and she asked me to come over to do some tapping. So I walked over, and she was in a circumstance where someone she'd loved had been physically assaulted, and they were a long way away, and so she was feeling guilty and overwhelmed and sad and a whole mess of emotions, as you would imagine you would. And so I go over, and we spent 45 minutes talking about everything under the sun that had nothing to do with us tapping. And so after about 45 minutes, I said, you know, I don't mean to pry, I don't mean to run you over, just as a thought, do you want to do some tapping or not? You know, I wasn't being accusatory and I wasn't being frustrated. I was just asking the question. And she said, you know, this is just so painful. I don't want to get into it. I said, okay, great. Let's just tap on that and see where we get. I want you to tune into the entire constellation of emotions. I want you to tune into everything that you're feeling right now. And with your hands, I want you to show me how big all of those emotions are. And she took her hands and she held them about a yard apart, like she was holding a giant beach ball. And so we did a few rounds of tapping on, I'm really worried that I'm going to get overcome with emotions, and this is too much, and this is scary, but I know this is a safe place, and when I hear the emotions and let them come forward, I'll give them a chance to heal, and I won't be carrying them around. And it wasn't complicated, and it was less than 3 minutes of tapping. I mean, it was less than any of the audios that are on the site. Super easy, super simple, cut right to the point. She took a deep breath. She was obviously more relaxed. And so I then asked her, okay, so show me again with your hands, how big is the emotion? And so what she did is she took her hands and she showed them about the size of a softball. You know, so 80% of the size had disappeared because 80% of the emotion at that moment was wrapped up in the fear of diving in and how painful it was going to be this. Now, it wasn't all that, but it was certainly tied to that. And so by creating a little space to go, okay, this is going to be okay, and I'm going to live through this, and it's not the end of the world, and I can stop if it gets too much, what it did was it created some space for her to let that go and be present to what was there. So if we're resisting doing work, it's important to ask that question. Does this feel too big? Does it feel too emotional? Does it feel too hard to do? And by breaking into it in that fashion, what we're going to do is we're going to let it recede away. So far we've covered, it won't work. It won't work for me. It won't last. The work is too hard, too emotional, too big, too painful. So again, raise your hand, star 2, or what you can do is just type a question into the chat box on the side. Number 5, and this is another one for experienced tappers that can be a real concern. And the fifth reason that we resist or we're reluctant to spend time tapping is because we're afraid that after I do the tapping, what it's going to do is it's either going to have me so emotionally wrung out that I'm not going to be able to do anything, or it's going to have me so relaxed that I'm going to lose focus for the rest of the day. my sister is someone like that, that she has to tap at the end of the day, because for her, it's such a profound emotional relief that oftentimes she just needs to lay down, take a nap. And for her to do that in the morning is something that's just not good for her, particularly when she's on her way out the door to do that. And so it's important to recognize that as a real fear. And when that happens, there's two things that we can do. One is we can tap on that directly. You know, I am worried that this is going to be too, it's going to cost me too much and my day is going to be wrecked. And I give myself permission to know I don't have to go deep and I'm just going to do a small portion. The second thing is to just set ourselves up for success. You know, if you're worried that it's going to become too much and it's going to wear you out, then you need to do a better job strategically planning when you tap. You know, if I feel like I'm going to be doing some tapping that's really going to wear me out, I'm going to do it at the end of the day. I'm going to do my tapping. I'm going to take a salt bath. I'm going to drink a big glass of water, and I'm going to go to bed. So I know if that's something that's coming and is a possibility, what I'm going to do is I'm going to set myself up for success. So as you see, some of these pieces of resistance are things that we tap on directly, you know, like the first four. This fifth one, it could be a circumstance that it's not as much about, you know, how we tap for the particular piece of resistance, and it becomes more about the actions we take to make sure we're positioning ourselves for success. So it's okay if I tap myself to the point of exhaustion if I'm tapping for myself at the end of the day, because I know I'm going to be really, really close to my bed. I can climb into my bed and I can sleep through the night and it won't be that big of a deal. So that's five. Again, questions, comments, type them in the chat box. There we go. Or you can just press *2 to raise your hand. Number six. And this one's a little subtler, and sometimes this might not be one that you're able to figure out on your own, that you might need the help of a practitioner, but you can recognize it even if you can't deal with it on your own. And the sixth reason that we resist and go after doing some tapping is we're worried that the change that is going to come about because of the tapping is going to add more work to our life. And what I mean by that is oftentimes we're tapping on issues that's going to allow us to do something we're having a hard time doing. And if we are successful, what it's going to do is it might raise expectations. You know, I'm worried about speaking in front of everybody at work, and I do a really good job at work speaking at the meeting. Everybody's going to recognize I now have that as a skill, and they're going to expect me to do that more often because I'm really good at it. So what I'm doing in that position is I'm adding more work to myself. Or I am going to tap and I'm going to get over my fear of what I look like when I'm out exercising in my neighborhood. And all of a sudden that means I have to work out 3 times a week because I no longer have that fear that I can hide behind if somebody is there. And so it's important that we continue to recognize when we're looking at the things that we're experiencing to figure out if we get something like that. You know, an easier way to ask that question is, how would me achieving the thing I'm tapping for make my life harder? Or how would the thing I'm tapping for make it so that I can't see myself moving forward in a really specific way? And so when we're able to answer that question, what it does is that gives us something to look at. You know, it might give me more work to do, but I'm going to have more time because I'm not going to be carrying this pain with me. Or as I move forward, I'm going to be in a circumstance where it's going to be really, really hard for me to continue doing this sort of work. But I recognize the fact that the benefit it's going to add to my life is worthwhile because I want this goal for really specific reasons. So the reason that it is that way is because it is making it hard for us to move forward. And so it's important that we recognize that. And again, this is one of those things sometimes it takes some outside eyes to help us to do. But if we can just ask the question, if I got over this, what's the worst thing that could happen? Oftentimes that sort of thing will come popping into our head. So that's number six. There is a question that's been tapped into the chat box that is a little off topic of the types of resistance. So I'm going to come back to that question about pain relief at the end of the call. So hang on there. It's a great question. I just don't want to break our stride here. So questions about the first six of the resistance, star two to raise your hand or type in the chat box. And so I definitely see that question that's there. The seventh reason that we resist, and again, this is one that's going to come up with more experienced tappers, is I'm worried that if I tap for this issue, I'm going to uncover something about myself that I don't like or something from my past that I don't like. And this is similar to the work is going to be hard and emotional. That's about it's not an enjoyable experience. Sometimes we're worried that we're going to find out something really, really gross. You know, I'm going to find out that I have this horrible habit, or the reason that I'm acting this way, you know, the reason I am so tight with my money is I feel like everybody around me is a bunch of crooks and I have to keep an eye on it. And I can be really embarrassed that that's a thought that I have. Or I'm afraid that there is this deep, dark memory that is repressed down inside of me, and I'm going to do this tapping, and I'm going to remember a time and a place where something really, really, really super horrible happened to me, or I'm going to learn that somebody I love treated me really bad, and all of a sudden this thing has come on top of me and has made it really hard for me to respond. And so what happens is, if that's the case, I'm not going to tap because tapping is a dangerous thing. You know, when I tap, I find these horrible things about my past, or when I tap, I find out these beliefs. And so the way that we respond to this one is, I am worried, we tap on something like, I am worried that when I tap, I'm going to uncover something that's uncomfortable. But I am already interacting and being affected by whatever is in there. So even though I'm not consciously aware of what is there, I'm putting myself into a position where I'm going to have to see it face to face, which feels scary on the surface, but when I do that, I'm going to be able to release it and let it go. And the beautiful part about tapping is oftentimes I can release these hidden dark things without ever having to know their details. And so when we tap in this capacity, what it's going to do is it's going to give us some space to recognize that it's safe for us to dive in. Now, this is one of those fears that if it's so strong and it's something that's really, really holding you tight, this is the moment that I'd really encourage you to go find a trusted EFT practitioner to work with. Because when you're working with someone who knows what they're doing, they're going to make sure that you're safe. You know, that a well-formed, well-trained practitioner knows what to do when we bump into something that's unexpected, that's scary, that's overwhelming. And so you're not going to have to deal with that on your own. So if there really is this genuine fear that that's going to happen, go find someone to work with. What it's going to do is it's going to create some space for you to help you to move forward in such a way that you're not going to feel overwhelmed. So the seven that we've gone over so far, we're worried that whatever we try isn't going to work. Number two, we're worried that it would work for someone else, but because of my circumstance, it's not going to work for me. Three, it might work, but it's just not going to last, therefore it's not worth it. Number four, the work I'm going to do, the tapping I'm going to do, is going to be too hard, too overwhelming, too emotional, and that's no fun. Number five, the work is going to leave me, the tapping work is going to leave me so emotionally drained that I'm just not going to be able to do anything after this. Number six, the change is going to make my life more difficult or add work. If I'm successful at this tapping, it means new things are going to happen for me to live up to this new me. And number seven, I'm going to find out something about myself that's really uncomfortable that I'm not going to know how to deal with. So, number eight, I will have to change the way I see myself. You know, it's really interesting how powerful our sense of identity is. Every circumstance that I step into, I know how to react because I know who I am. And if the tapping means that I have to change how I identify myself, then it's going to make it really hard for me to move through what's going on. You know, an example of that was a buddy of mine years and years ago, and I might have even used this example on a call because I think it's the most profound example of this sense of identity and how if identity is entrenched, change isn't going to happen. The guy I did my NLP training with tells a story, Will Horton. He used to do the non-smoking circuit as a hypnotist where he would set up and he would do group hypnosis in a hotel ballroom and just kind of travel from town to town in the Midwest. And the deal was, it was in two sessions, and at the intermission, if you were unsatisfied, you'd get a full refund at the intermission. No love lost, no big deal. You could take your money and you could head home. And so as Will tells the story, he's sitting at the table and he's filling out paperwork, and he looks up at the next person who steps up, and he looks up and he sees a Marlboro belt buckle and a Marlboro jacket and a Marlboro hat. And the guy puts his money down on the table, and Will picks it up and hands it back to him and says, "Here's your refund." Because his identity was, he was a Marlboro man. You know, the company had done a really good job of branding a lifestyle, not just cigarettes. And for him to quit smoking, what he was going to have to do is he was going to have to let go of his identity. And by letting go of his identity, he didn't know how to act in the world. I was working with a client one time who had been assaulted. It had been a long time ago. And she really hadn't done the emotional healing that she needed to do. And in a moment of great clarity in our conversation, you know, she said, "Everybody is in my life because I'm a victim. And if I heal, they're all going to leave me." You know, her interaction with everyone, the way she saw everyone, was such that she couldn't change that because that was too costly. She didn't know how to be in the world a new way. She knew how to be in the world as a victim. She knew how to let other people take care of her. She didn't know how to engage as peers. She didn't know how to be caring. She didn't know how to be nurturing because all she was ever cared for. And so if we're in a position where our tapping is going to prevent us from moving forward and we become someone else, that can be a hard thing. Because oftentimes the crud that we know is much better than a new way, because even though right now it's not perfect, I know how to manage it. I know how I fit inside of my own skin and I navigate the day. And so by putting myself in that place, it makes it really, really super hard for me to move forward. So if we recognize, even on a subconscious level, that we don't know how to exist in the world in a new way, then we're not going to tap on that because we're setting ourselves up for what we think is failure. So the question that we ask ourselves when we're in that position is, what would happen if this happened to me and I changed? What are the drawbacks? What will I struggle with? How will I struggle navigating my day? And if anything shows up, that's going to become a really specific tappable issue. Okay. The ninth one, which is similar to the eighth one, is if I have this transformation, it's going to change the way other people see me, and they're not going to like that. And as an example of this, and again, this is the cliched example I give a lot, but I think it articulates it so perfectly. I was working with a weight loss client, and she was struggling, and all of a sudden she said, "I know how all of my friends talk about skinny people. And if I lose weight, they're going to say those same horrible catty things about me." So in that circumstance, what she did is she recognized transformation meant a change to her own identity, and a change to her own identity meant other people were going to see her in an unpleasant way, and they were going to treat her differently. And so if the transformation we are seeking is going to change the way the people around us see us, that's going to be hard. You know, and it might not be an identity thing, it might be a relationship thing. For example, you know, I'm available to help my family out all of the time, but I decide that I want to go back to school and I want to get an education because I need this new degree to get this new job, and all of a sudden, I'm not around my house two nights a week, and therefore, I can't help my family out the way they've come to expect me to help them out, and therefore, they're now shortchanged and they're not going to like that. Because the thing that they have come to expect about me and the way I navigate the world and the way I care for them is now over. And so even on a subconscious level, if I recognize that, it's going to make it really, really super hard for me to move forward. So the questions for number 8 and number 9 are, we ask ourselves, if I make this change, how will I be different and how is that hard for me in the world? And if I make this change and I become different, how is it going to impact the way other people see me? You know, and when we're able to uncover those things and break them apart with tapping, what it's going to do is it's going to put us into a place where we can now go after the issue again. So, again, questions, tap them in the box. We're just kind of cruising through stuff here, or press star 2. It's not a surprise there aren't a lot of questions. So this is pretty straightforward, but if something comes up, please let me know. Okay, number 10. 10 is a biggie. And it's really complicated and it's really hard. And I think there's been some tap-alongs on this, but it's good that we keep kind of revisiting it. The 10th reason is, if I make this change, I'm going to end up telling somebody I love that they are wrong. Now, let me break that apart a little bit. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to say to their face that they're wrong, but for an example, I have been given this notion from my parents that in order to be successful, you have to work hard. And so therefore, if I find an easy way to success, I'm telling my parents that their belief is wrong. Or we're going against their belief. You know, only bastards are rich. Only jerks are rich. You know, because they've had so little, they constantly despise the wealthy. So if I'm wealthy, then they're going to be thinking those things about me. And so we pick up those beliefs and we internalize those beliefs, particularly the ones we gather from the people around us when we're growing up. And it becomes particularly hard for us to let them go because we feel like we're telling them, the people who have given to us, that they're wrong, or we're letting them go. You know, if I let go of your belief, I'm also letting go of you. And if we're able to make that identification, if we're able to find out where that belief came from, the way we tap on it's really straightforward. By letting go of this belief, I'm not letting go of my loved ones. By letting go of this belief, I'm not saying my loved ones are wrong. By letting go of this belief, I'm only saying it's not right for me. By letting go of this belief, I'm simply choosing my own way. This belief might have been helpful for me at one point. It's no longer helpful for me now. And what that does is it helps us to disassociate the belief from the people who gave us the belief. Because I'm not giving away the people who cared for me and moved me forward and gave me so much in my life. What I'm moving away from is the fact that I've been put in this place where they've given me something that isn't useful, and I'm choosing something that's new. So those are the 10. I'm going to run through them again. So what we're talking about here again is this idea that if any of these 10 things exist, it's going to be hard for us to do the work that we want to do. If I worry, number one, the tapping just isn't going to work for this issue. I'm not going to do the work because it's going to feel like it's going to feel like it's a waste of time. Number two, it might work for this issue, but it's not going to work for me in my special circumstance, or it's not going to work for me because I'm so far gone or whatever it is. Number three, this might work, but it's not going to be a lasting transformation. Because if I don't feel like it's going to be lasting, then I'm not going to do the work because it feels like a waste of time, even though we talked about how that's not the case. Four, the work is going to be too hard, too emotional, too painful to do. Because if I think the transformation is going to be hard, I'm going to avoid it. And that's one of the reasons why I really don't like the personal peace procedure. I mean, it's basically this laundry list of, I'm going to write down every crappy thing that ever happened to me, and I'm going to tap through them one at a time. I'd rather jab my own eyes out. Now, it's important that we go after painful things, but we want to make sure we're going after the things that actually have impact. You know, so recognizing how hard it's going to be and how emotional it is gives us a chance to go, okay, this is hard, but I can see how this is directly impacting my life today. And by struggling with that, it's going to make me get to a place where I can actually start moving forward. Number six, this change will add work to my life, which basically says, if I make this transformation, I'm going to get responsibility, I'm going to get notoriety, I'm going to get new tasks, I'm going to have to keep living up to this level of success. If we fear the burden outweighs the reward, we're never going to do it. So that's what we address. Number seven, I'm going to find out something about myself or my past that I don't like. You know, we've all been in a tapping session where we've uncovered something that is surprising and gross and not a lot of fun. And what this does is it's going to prevent us from trying because we see the session itself as being something super painful, and that's just not a really good time. Number eight, when I make this change, I'm going to have to change the way I see myself. It becomes an identity changer for me, and I know how to act in the world like the way I am. I might not know how to act in the world as someone else or me in a new way, so that's going to prevent me from tying. Number nine, when I make this change, it's going to change the way that other people see me or understand me, and they're not going to be happy with the new me. You know, I say this a lot, and actually the anger book that I wrote for the inmates, there's a whole section on this, and it's basically, people want us to change as long as they don't have to. Now, there are exceptions in our life. There are people who are willing to make sacrifice along with us, and there are going to be people who encourage us. But there are also a lot of people who are really going to encourage us as long as they're not made uncomfortable or they're not losing something by our change and our transformation. And if we recognize on some level we're going to annoy, piss off, make harder for the people around us, then we're not going to do the work that we want to do. And finally, number 10, if I make this change, I'm going to prove someone I love wrong. You know, I'm going to say their worldview, their point of view, their understanding, the lessons they've passed on to me aren't right. And that's hard because it puts us in a position that's not enjoyable. And it's hard because it puts us in a place where we feel like we're having to let them down or let them go or lose them. So those are the 10. They're really, really big. And again, like I said, what I'd do, and I'm going to stick these right up next to the audio here after we're done with the call tonight, just take the list of 10, print them out, put them somewhere where near you where you tap, and just ask the question. You know, what worries do I have? Why might be it hard for me? Am I afraid it's not going to work? Am I afraid it's going to change my identity? Am I afraid it's going to make it harder? Am I scared to dive in and recognize those things? And by doing that, we're going to blow that resistance away. And when we blow the resistance away, all of a sudden, doing the work and making the transformation is just like that trip to the grocery store. It becomes this really, really effortless thing where we move from task to task to task because there's no longer resistance to it. We no longer see it as a dangerous or overwhelming thing. So those are the 10. Again, if you have a question, just tap it into the chat box or press star 2. If you have questions, ask them. I'm going to go back to the question from about 15, 20 minutes ago. So the question is, can you give an example of a tapping session for pain relief? I would love to help my husband with his knee pain, his aches at night, so he can tap for himself. So when it comes for tapping for pain, it's really important. What we do is we go back to the basic premise that tapping is nothing more than tuning into the issue at hand, in this case, the physical pain, and providing stimulus to the meridian points. So basically, you know, when we all learned the basic recipe, it was we said, this pain in my knee, this pain in my knee, this pain in my knee. Those words, as I say all the time, are not magical. But what they're doing is they're getting us tuned into the pain. They're getting us focused on that place so that our attention is there while we're tapping. So when it comes for tapping for physical pain, what I like to do is I like to just ask myself a number of questions to describe it. A couple of weeks ago in the newsletter, I sent everybody a link to the ebook, which was the anger management book for inmates, or the anger management book, comprehensive anger management, which I wrote for the inmates. There is an entire section where I'm teaching the tapping in there, how to tap for physical pain. And you're going to see all of these questions laid out there. So just give them this list to tap on. If for some reason you lost that email or didn't get that link, drop me a note, gene@tappingqa.com. I'll get you a copy of it so you can see it again. But really what I do is when I tap on the side of the hand, I just tune into, okay, where is the pain located? Okay, it's in my knee. And then as I tap on the eyebrow, I ask myself the question, well, where is it at? Is it on the surface? Is it in the middle? Does it go from the middle out? And I kind of figure out the exact location of it. And then as I tap on the side of the eye, I go, okay, what's the shape of it? Is it a rod? Is it a cone? Is it a ball? Is it feel like wire that's going out in all directions? And as I tap under the eye, well, what kind of pain is it? Is it an ache? Is it a pain? Is it dull? Is it pulsing? Because there's all sorts of textures of pain. Then I start to get creative. As I tap under the nose, I think, well, if I was going to make a model out of this to show someone what this pain feels like, what would I use to make that model? Would it be clay? Would it be molten lava? Would it be wire? As I tap on the chin, I think, well, how much would it weigh if I put it in my hands? Like I reached in and I pulled that pain out and I weighed it. How much would it weigh? And as I tap on the collarbone, I think, if I was going to paint a picture, what color or colors would I use to paint it? As I tap under the arm, I think, where's the epicenter of that pain? Is it solid all the way through? Does it radiate out? I tap on the side of the hand. I ask, if the pain could say something, what would it say? Does that make sense? So basically all I'm doing there is I'm just asking a whole bunch of kind of wacky creative questions that help me to tune into what's going on so I stay really focused to what's at hand. And again, just check the book for a list so you can just print them out. If for some reason, like I said, you don't have the links to that, I want to make sure that you have that. So just shoot me an email and I'll make sure you get a copy of that. So type something in the chat box if I left something unclear there and we can ask a follow-up. Okay, another question. Number 6, 8, and 9 really resonate with me. Just hearing about them makes me want to tap. Though I'm sensing I may need to follow up with you with what might come up. And that's very true. You know, so one of the things that the questions are doing is they're giving us an opportunity to tune in really specifically and to get more information about the issue at hand. And one of two things are going to happen. One is the information is going to come forward and go, oh, this is the thing I'm worried about. I can tap on that. Or two, it's going to go, oh, look at that. That's pretty complicated. And I don't feel real comfortable doing that on my own. I'm going to set up an appointment with someone so that I can get some help to deal with that. One of my favorite questions, you know, I'll oftentimes have a conversation with new clients to see if they want to work with me and if I want to work with them and we see if we're a good fit. One of my favorite questions is when a new client asks me if I work with someone and what is my tapping routine? And for me, the answer is yes. You know, this is what I do for a living and I feel pretty confident about it. And I train people and I create training manuals on this stuff. And there are issues that I'm so inside the middle of. It's really important that I seek help out so that I can get an outside perspective on it. I can get a different approach to it. So as you're asking these questions and you're working your way through this stuff, if you find yourself in a position where you're worried that you're not going to be able to handle something, that's the perfect time to get help. You know, it's better to have too much help than not enough help. You know, you can always be in a circumstance where you're working on some tapping and you're working through some stuff and you find yourself in a place where you're in over your head and it becomes too much. You know, by having someone at your side, you know, you're going to be able to go, oh, I guess that wasn't that big of a deal. And we'll be able to work through that. So yeah, definitely ask these questions. The information that comes up is going to be super helpful. And it might lead you to a place where you're in a place where you're able to manage the stuff in that capacity. Looks like all the questions have been cleared out of the chat. We got clarity, it looks like, on the pain stuff. Glad that that came through. Cool. Well, next week, we're going to be doing question and answer and tapping requests. So if you have a question, you can't make a call, just shoot me an email, gene@tappingqa.com. We'll make sure we answer the question in the call, even if you're not there. If you have something Like we go through, you're going through the stuff and something comes up and you want to tap for it and you're not afraid to tap for it in the call knowing that other folks can learn from it. You know, just raise your hand while we're here or type something in the chat box and we'll get a chance to go after it. Once we get off of the call here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to upload the audio, edit a little bit. I'm also going to type up my notes from the 10 things that we talked about tonight and put them on the site. They'll be in the exact same entry that you got the call in information. As always, please let me know how I can be helpful. I can always be reached at gene@tappingqa.com. Thanks for spending some of your Tuesday night with me. Thanks for continuing to learn to make sure you're doing the stuff that you need to do to move towards your goals. I'm really enjoying this whole process. I hope you are as well. For Tapping Q&A, this is Gene Montristelli. I hope you have a great night, and I will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.